WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Ann Packer has received numerous awards for her short stories, some of which have been gathered into a collection called Mendocino and Other Stories. She's just written her first novel, called The Dive from Clausen's Pier, and book critic Maureen Corrigan says Packer's novel, which edges toward 400 pages, is still too short. She wants more.
I was at a barbecue on Saturday night where the subject turned to books. The hostess, a friend, said that she felt more on top of her reading these days. There's not that much out there, she said. Once you have more of a sense of your own tastes, you can winnow out those books you know aren't going to appeal to you. Isn't it pretty to think so, I told her, demonstrating once again that the greatest social value of a PhD in English is the access it gives you to literary quotations for every occasion. Rather than feeling more on top of my reading, I'm feeling more daunted by the cosmic expanse of so many books, so little time. There are the classics, as well as all those highly acclaimed contemporary books I haven't gotten around to reading yet. There are all the beloved authors I want to reread, like every Dickens novel in sequence this time round. And mysteries? I've discovered Ian Rankin, and I have to restrict myself to one of his novels per month, otherwise nothing else would get done. To make matters worse, all these new writers keep on appearing. I just reviewed Jonathan Safran Foer's amazing first novel, Everything is Illuminated. This week, another superb and stylistically very different debut novel has me raving. It's called The Dive from Clausen's Pier by Ann Packer. There is no such thing as getting on top of reading. You read and read, you flail around and struggle to gain a foothold, and then, before you know it, another great book knocks you over. Because I don't have Ann Packer's gift for deceptively unadorned language that captures the complexities of a situation, the plot of The Dive from Clausen's Pier may sound contrived. With that caveat, here goes. A 23-year-old woman named Carrie Bell is feeling restless. She's lived all her life in Madison, Wisconsin, gone to college there, now works in the university library. Her circle of friends hasn't changed since high school. She's been with her boyfriend Mike since she was 14. Now they're engaged. On Memorial Day weekend, Mike, Carrie, and their friends drive out as usual to Clausen's Reservoir for a picnic. Because Mike senses Carrie's growing distance, he does something stupid to win her attention and affection. He dives off Clausen's Pier into the ice-cold reservoir. Except that it's been a very dry spring in the Midwest, and the reservoir is much lower than normal, and so Mike breaks his neck. He wakes from a coma many weeks later to find that he's now a quadriplegic, and Carrie, who was subconsciously planning to break up with him, finds that she's been fixed into the role of grieving but stalwart fiancé. Temporarily fixed, that is, because one night she gets into her car and impetuously drives to New York. As Carrie, our first-person narrator, races away from her martyrdom in Madison, she throws out this explanation in the form of a question to the reader. How much do we owe the people we love? How much do we owe them? What I had discovered was that I couldn't give up my life for Mike. That's how I saw it at the time. That's the choice I thought I had to make. And because I couldn't give up everything, I also thought I couldn't give up anything. It's standard with a novel like this to say the language rises above the flamboyant aspects of the plot. But Packer has an organic vision of her story here. Mike's accident is the melodrama of reality. When she arrives in New York, Carrie seeks out a gay friend from high school and moves into the second floor landing of the ramshackle brownstone he rents with about five other people. She pursues a relationship with a strangely aloof but seductive guy named Kilroy. Meanwhile, minor characters in Madison and New York claim their own erratic adventures: marriage, the loss of a parent, a catapult into literary fame. Even more than the ingeniousness of this sprawling plot, Packer's novel is distinguished by the psychological subtlety of her language. The way she hints at, rather than overstates, Carrie's semi-decisions. Carrie's passion is sewing, and pages here are devoted to engrossing descriptions of how she chooses fabric, cuts it into pieces, snips thread, pins a hem, superheats her iron, assembles an article of clothing from nothing. Packer might as well be describing her own slow, precise, and utterly compelling method as a writer. The shape of the storyline she puts together by the end of the dive from Clawson's Pier is like nothing you've seen or could have anticipated.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Dive from Clawson's Pier by Ann Packer.